Welcome to the City Point Church podcast. Thanks for joining us. Every day is an opportunity to take hold of. So we hope this message inspires you and builds your faith, that it helps you have more of a God perspective for your day. Enjoy.
So the title of the message this morning is Holy Spirit, Interrupt Me Please. And we're going to kick it off in the Bible in a pretty cool story. You've all heard it, the Good Samaritan. So allow me to read you this story. It says, in reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. When he was attacked by robbers, they stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Super nice, right? A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he just passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, he passed him on the other side. But the Samaritan, as he traveled, that's a cool word, remember that, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on olive oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave it to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense that you may have. So I love this story. If I'm honest, I actually love reading the Bible through their stories. John and I read the Word of God very differently. He's about the Word and he wants to know, explore it. And next thing you know, there's a whole Bible written over this one word. I like the stories. And I like to look at a story and I love to hear and put myself in it and see what happened. But I also like to take a really good look around in the story and see what didn't happen or what wasn't mentioned. And when we look at this story in the Good Samaritan, we read that the Samaritan was traveling, right? On his way somewhere. We read that he was a man of mercy. We read that he had wealth because, you know, he paid for everything, so there was an income coming from somewhere. What we don't read about the Samaritan is where he was traveling to or why he was traveling. We don't read what his very important job description was. We don't read about his title. We just read that he was traveling, and while he was on his journey, he was interrupted with a situation that required his attention, his affection, his generosity, his work. Holy Spirit, interrupt us this morning. Interrupt us in this place. Interrupt our journeys, God. Interrupt our plans. Interrupt this preach. I find it really interesting in the Bible that he was on a journey, on a destination, right? Because some of us in life, we like to be all about the destination. If you're working, you're all about the job. If you're driving somewhere, you just want to get to that place, right? Anyone know anybody like that? When you're driving, and then all of a sudden, you know, in that they're all about the drive and shaving that 4 seconds off Google Maps time estimate like it's life goals. Do you know anybody like that? Dob them in. Go on. You can dob them in right now. Yeah, I see. Yeah, I know that about you. Often task people. But the point one this morning is looking for God moments. Divine opportunities. When we're all about the journey and when we're all about that destination, sometimes we miss those divine opportunities and those moments that he places, you know, in our life, right? Who here is a task person? A little bit about the task. If I'm honest, I'm probably one of those sometimes too. All about the job. All about the destination. All about the journey. All about, oh, I need just to get that house built. Oh, I've just got to get to the next part of that season. I've just got to get that assignment finished. I've just got to get the house clean. And we sometimes miss these divine opportunities and moments that God brings along our way. If you're a task person here, Can I just have your attention just for one moment? I just want to just speak into that. Because the kingdom of heaven is actually the task is people. We can be all about the jobs. But when we get to heaven, we're going to realize that people were the job.
Right.
People were the job. Being a part of someone's God moment, that's actually the job. So I really pray this morning, I pray that the Holy Spirit interrupt you. Interrupt your week. Interrupt your jobs. Interrupt you as you're going about doing your business. It's okay to want to do your jobs really well. It's okay to have and strive for a spirit of excellence. But we've got to pray that the Holy Spirit begin to interrupt us and open up our eyes to the situations and the people that he's putting in around us, to wake up and go, Holy Spirit, would you interrupt us? Would you open up my eyes to see the things and the moments and the places that you're putting me in? I don't want to be so much about the job that I miss the job. You with me? Is this okay this morning? All right. So opening up our eyes, I would urge you this week to go home and to pray and go, Holy Spirit, would you open up my eyes to the God moments? Maybe it's a mum that you're speaking to who's going through a divorce that actually really needs to talk that out. Maybe it's a work colleague who you've noticed has been a little bit down. That maybe require a conversation a little bit more than a, what's up, guys? It's okay to open up your mouth and start talking with people. Open up your eyes to the friend who has that sick family member. Hey, do you mind if we pray for them? Open up your eyes to your teenager's friend who needs a lift home from soccer practice. It's so easy. Men, or dads in this place, if I could encourage you. Open up your eyes to your son's best mate, who you're supposed to go and put your hand on their back and go, you know what, son, I'm proud of you, because they don't have a dad in their world, right? We've got to open up our eyes to the situations and to the people that God puts in front of us. As Jesus actually said, he said, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. Some of the most powerful moments in life can be missed or overlooked because we are just consumed by what we think is most important. You know, neglecting the urgent for the important. We actually do this with children a lot. We do this with kids. Go away. Be quiet. You're so annoying. Not now. Some of you said all of those things this morning. But in Matthew 19, it talks about the children coming to Jesus and the disciples who were on mission. They're like, kids, go away. Can't you see we're busy here? Look, we've got the Messiah. We've got really important business here. Not now. And Jesus is like, hey, hold up. You let those children come to me. Such is the kingdom of God. Don't you see their hearts are open? Don't you see that their hearts are ready to be loved and to love? Kids are amazing. Don't you dare send them away. You bring them to me. Children are amazing. Do you know your kids' friends' names? Or when you get to the school and go and put them in the car, just get in, I just want to get home. Is there any time in your world for them? Do they ever get an invitation over? I remember one of the most powerful God moments in my life was my grandmother. Our family, we weren't going to church. We just wasn't in the the scheme just yet. But my grandmother, she was a God-fearing woman. And she was sitting down in her bed, and I remember she was praying. And me, you know, misentitled at my nana's house, I just walked wherever I liked and I just used to barge in. And instead of, go away, Rachel, I'm praying, not now, she would actually just extend her arm out and go, just come in and you can pray with me. Some of the most amazing moments were on my knees, down next to my grandmother while she was praying for me. Kids are amazing. And I would actually just encourage you this week. I know that many of you are holding people in your heart. Actually, I'm going to ask for a show of hands. How many of them were a child? Good. Such is the kingdom of heaven. And so I would urge you, like in all of your God moments, be looking at everyone. There's no Holy Spirit for an adult Holy Spirit and a child Holy Spirit. It's the same Holy Spirit. Yeah, so be looking for the God moments. So I really pray that the Holy Spirit, that He capture our attention. I pray the Holy Spirit begin to interrupt our week. I pray that He interrupt your path, that He interrupt our plans, that He interrupt our thoughts, that He interrupt our way. I pray, Holy Spirit, that You open up our eyes to the people, to the situations, to the circumstances that You have placed right in front of us. And Holy Spirit, I pray that You lead the way in all of these circumstances. I'm going to bring up point two here, which is just that the Holy Spirit brings life. It's going to sound like I'm going off on a bit of a tangent, but just bear with me, it's going to tie in. One of the most radical interruptions in the Bible is actually Paul's conversion. I don't know if you've read this story, but it's a wild one. So Paul, before he met Jesus, his name was Saul. And Saul really wasn't a nice guy. He was out and he was murdering Christians, and he was really passionate about it and vicious. Like, he really, really wasn't a nice guy. And in Acts 9:3, it reads, "As he," that's Saul, "journeyed and he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' And he said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And the Lord said, 'I am Jesus who you are persecuting.'" Whoops. If ever you had like this conversion moment, he ends up blind, which I kind of find hilarious. I think it was Jesus' way of saying, "You're really blind. You are not seeing this." And the reason I'm bringing up this story to you is because Saul thought that he was doing these things. He thought murdering, he thought attacking, he thought that he was being super passionate and amazing for God. See, Saul was actually a Pharisee. He was the son of a Pharisee. And so he had this zealousness to go out and murder the early church. And Jesus is like, "Hey, yay, this is not the way. I'm not in this. I need to show you the right way." And the reason that I want to bring it up this morning is because Saul, before he became Paul, he had the Word of God, but he didn't have the Spirit of God. You see, we need the Word of God, but you also need the Spirit of God. You need the Word of God and you need the breath of God, the two. You need Spirit and truth. And they don't work with one without the other. And you might go, no, the Word of God is good on its own. Seriously, all of the Pharisees had the Word of God. They all had, even Satan used the Word of God. So the Word of God without the Spirit of God can often bring about death and destruction. See, like Jesus said, He comes to bring life and life more abundantly. And so when we're talking about the Word of God, you must have the Word of God and the Spirit of God. If you don't believe me, I'm going to bring up a scripture here somewhere. Oh my gosh, I can't find it. Here, 2 Corinthians. It's so good that you've got like highlighter in tablets. I've just discovered tablets. It's so fun. Anyway, it makes life so much easier. 2 Corinthians 3:6. It reads, "The letter kills." The letter. That's the Word of God. The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So it's possible that God's Word without His Spirit is going to bring or can bring death. You need Spirit and truth. Jesus talked about this. You need Spirit and truth. The Word of God must have the Spirit of God. You don't want the Word of God without the Holy Spirit, and you do not want people who are sensitive to the Spirit of God without being anchored in the Word of God. I promise you. Oh, Lord, they just, you'll know them. No one from this church. They get all super spiro about all things and start floating off into all kinds of places. There's nothing to ground them. You get some whacked ideas when you're sensitive to the Spirit of God but ignore the Word of God. It's a unity. The two must coexist together. And you're like, well, why would you bring this up in a message like this? Here we go. It is possible to have the Word of God within you and not the right spirit. It is possible to be evangelizing to people, declaring truth with not a right spirit. We must have a right spirit when we are being Jesus to the world. It's okay to uphold truth. I'm not saying here at all, make exception for sin. I'm not saying that grace should say, oh, your sin is perfectly fine. What I am saying is that when we speak God's truth, it must be in the spirit of God's truth. It must be in the fruits of his spirit. It must be in love. It must be laced in grace. I always know when I'm off. And guys, sometimes I'm off. Make no mistake, what can be ripe and sweet and rich today can be rotten tomorrow. And that can be all of us here. I always know when I'm off because I have a symptom, and so I've learnt to pay attention to it over the years. And the symptom is judgment. I tend to get a little bit judgmental. And when I get like this, I just know that I need to realign my heart back into the Spirit of God so that my life overflows with the fruits of his Spirit, word and truth. This is when I need to pray more. This is when I need to soak in his presence more. This is when I need the Holy Spirit to interrupt me more. This is when I serve more, fast more, give more, love more. Which just simply brings me to point three, and it's this, that true love actually wins souls. Jesus had this for us. So when Pastor Mel spoke on exploring evangelism last week, it confronted me. I hope it confronted you. I was wrestling this out all week. When she asked, you know, if anyone had come to know Jesus within that 12 months, I was just outside it. And I had a revelation that week. It was simply, I actually just don't love people enough. Jesus did. I want to bring up the story here of how Jesus did it. This particular story in the Bible, oh, it's got to be in my top three favorites because it really shows the heart of Jesus. And it's the story of the Samaritan woman. So in John 4, 3 to 9, it reads, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee, but he needed to go through Samaria. So he was traveling. So he came to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. And Jesus approaches her. He's like, give me a drink. The woman of Samaria said to him, I want you to pay attention to her response. How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews don't actually have any dealings with Samaritans. If you remember, Jews and Samaritans, they really didn't like each other very much at all. And so we see here Jesus is on a journey. He's with his disciples. They're all packed up and they are on a journey. But who knows that this journey wasn't about the destination. It was about this moment. It was about this interruption where Jesus interrupts this world's life and just comes in. And so he starts this dialogue with her, and she kind of starts giving him a little bit of smack. It was a little bit confrontational. She was a little bit feisty. I think I would have liked her. Anyway, so we have Pastor Graham here 2 weeks ago from this platform. He delivered a message, and he was talking in that message about ripe fruit. So sometimes, you know, we bang on, you might have that person that you're believing for. It might be the same person you've been believing for 10 years. And he talked about, you know, not wasting all of your energy on a door that's clearly closed, that's not ready or that's not ripe. And then you've got Pastor Mel last week who said evangelism is sometimes hard, and that even when Paul went to evangelize that he got butterflies in his stomach. So these two aren't in contradiction. You're not like disagreeing, are you? No? Not at the moment? I've actually known these guys a long time. I have actually sat in a room where they haven't agreed on something. It's fun. Actually, it's okay in marriage if you don't agree on everything. You've just got to make sure that when you disagree that there are rules in place as to how you do that. There's rules of engagement. I'm way off track. These two are not contradicting. So when Pastor Graham says that, you know, don't continue to necessarily bang on doors that just don't want to hear. The ground is dry and brittle. They've got a clear close. You know, you can't force people to love Jesus. Not even Jesus does that. You can love them, you can pray for them, you can woo them, but you can't force people. So if there's a closed door, maybe keep it on your prayer list, but just step aside it. It's not a moment where you go, oh, thank God, all right, Pastor Graham said that, you know, we don't have to keep banging on that door. Awesome, I'm on holidays, I'm going to go and make myself a picnic. I am good, I've tried, I've done that, no more. No, he's saying that so that you don't waste all of your time and energy on the closed door and then three other people make it to the prayer list and the attention, that you start beginning to open up your eyes to the people that God's put in front of you, that you start to see the harvest that is ripe, that you start to see these moments that you can explore and go, did you know the love of God? I see that circumstance. I want to pour myself in there and just let you know that there's hope, let you know that there's an answer. You don't have to walk with that limp. You don't have to walk in poverty. You don't have to have that lifestyle. I've got the answer. The field is wide unto harvest, but sometimes we get a bit tripped up because on your prayer list, it's almost like a block on there that you're not going to move past it until this one person gets, you know, knows Jesus. Put it, keep it on the prayer list, but maybe just step around it and go, well, Lord, would you open up my eyes? Would you interrupt me, Holy Spirit? Would you interrupt me to the moments? Would you interrupt me to the person? Would you interrupt me to the conversations that you want me to have? Let's keep reading about how Jesus does this. It's just so fun. Oh, give me a second. Can I have a drink, please? Thank you. Ah. Ta. You never seen anyone throw a water bottle before? All right, I want we come back here and have a look at this story. Mizos, can you actually come up and join me, please? Where it says, well, Jesus had this conversation with her. So he's interacting with her, and she's giving him smack. I'm going to read it, it's not up on the screen, but she continues to reply to Jesus saying, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and all of his livestock? So she's coming back a little bit feisty. In other words, it was a little bit confrontational. And Jesus, full of love, full of the Holy Spirit, he just cuts right through. You see, you can see a situation in people and go, actually, they're too hard. I tapped on the door. Jesus saw right through it and went, nope, I'm going to continue here. And so he continues to cut through the feistiness and he goes straight for the heart. He continues to ask her questions and she comes out with this statement in John 4, 25 to 26. The Samaritan woman said to him, I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. Let's have a look at what's going on here. It looks like she's untouchable. This woman was living in sin. You ever come up against someone and gone, they're in the too hard basket because they're too far gone? Jews don't even talk to Samaritans. But true love compelled Jesus and he goes, nope. She's ripe fruit. Even though there was resistance, even though it was a little bit hard, he just tapped a bit further and he caught right through to the heart. You will never know if someone's ripe and ready unless you're tapping a little bit harder, unless you're asking the questions, unless you're asking the Holy Spirit to lead you in conversations. It might be a little bit difficult. It might be a little bit confrontational. You might get someone who gives you a smack and then you might just hit the heart in that moment where they're desperate, where they know that there's a God, where they know that there's got to be something else, where they know that this hopelessness is actually hopeless and there's got to be another answer. You don't know if you're hitting that. And if this story isn't enough for you, I need to highlight, guess what the very next passage of scripture is from this story. I'm going to continue to read, so just listen. The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, come see a man who told me all things I have ever did. Could this be the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came to him. In the meantime, his disciples, is anyone here a disciple? Raise your hand if you're a disciple. His disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat, because they'd gone to go and get the food to eat. But Jesus said to them, I have food to eat which you do not know. Therefore, the disciples said to one another, they're like, has anyone given anything to Jesus to eat? That was our job, and now he's saying he's eaten. And Jesus is like, guys, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white to harvest. This is the passage of scripture that comes right after this story. This is Jesus saying to his disciples, guys, look at what's unfolding here. I know you thought we were on a journey. I know you were upset that we came through Samaria. I know you don't even like these people. But disciples, guys, people who travel with me, people who are there by my side, would you open up your eyes and have a look at what's unfolding here? Take a look at this. Open your eyes. This field is wide unto harvest. You thought it was impossible. You didn't even want to go there. But this woman who's now met Jesus, she's gone and told the whole village. Pastor Mel touched on that last week. When you meet Jesus for the first time, you're like, oh, everybody needs to know this. Off she went and they all started to come. True love wins souls. Jesus was there for her. He was there for that whole village. True love. You know, Jesus, when he went to the cross, he didn't go because he had to. He didn't go because he should. It says that for the joy set before him that he endured the cross. He wanted to go. That's what love did. That's what compelled him to go. And I really, after that message, I realized I just don't actually love people enough. Love compels in us to do audacious, irrational, sometimes clumsy things. I remember when John first started, you know, we started dating. He did not ask me in a nice, orchestrated, well-thought-through, three-point way. I came up to Townsville after we'd enjoyed a long friendship, and we decided to become prayer partners when he went to Townsville, which meant that we'd call each other once a week and talk about what we wanted to pray for. Well, once a week turned into every night of the week, and then the conversations got longer and longer, and I remember my mum poking her head around the door going, "Geez, you guys have got a lot to pray for." We weren't really sure what we were doing. We certainly weren't dating at that stage. We were still friends. There was a bit of interest. And I told him I was coming up to visit, and he went, "Oh, okay, yep, that's great. Oh no, I'm going to set you up with my friend. Oh, hang on, maybe not." It was all a little bit, you know. And then he reached this moment where he realized, actually, I want to pursue this. And so the very first moment, it wasn't a, "Oh, you know, I've been thinking about it and I would really like to start dating with you." No. Out came of his mouth, "Oh, I love you and I'm madly in love with you and want to spend the rest of my life with you." Audacious. Clumsy.
It worked.
It worked. Church, what if we had a love like that for people? What if for a moment we actually saw people the way that he saw them? What if when we saw people, we heard his heartbeat for them? I was talking to someone this week. Someone who's actually trapped in a very sinful lifestyle. We must have talked for an hour just about all sorts of silly things. And she was talking, we were talking about our favourite moments in the day. My favourite moment in the day is my coffee. It's actually the holiday of my day. And hold up, just come with me. And she was talking about her favourite moment of the day was when she had a cup of tea out on her veranda. And I'm just praying as she's speaking and I'm like, "Lord, my favourite moment of the day with a coffee is because I do that with you. I sit there in your presence. I know your love. I know your purpose. I know everything's going to be okay because you're there. I love to worship him. I see creation. I see his existence." I'm like, that would be the worst cup of tea ever, to sit there and drink that and not know that. He wants it for everyone. And so guys, I'm just going to ask that we pray, Holy Spirit, interrupt our days. Interrupt our conversations, Lord. Interrupt my sleep if need be. Some of you actually need to go, "Yep, if I wake up in the middle of the night, maybe that's time I need to get up and pray. If the kids are up anyway, maybe take advantage of that time and go, okay, I'm going to pace the floor, I'm just going to pray. Interrupt my way, my needs. Interrupt how I think about people, Lord. Interrupt how we think about people, God. Interrupt how I talk to people. Interrupt how we feel about people." Do you remember that first moment when Jesus interrupted you? Hey, the moment you felt like you could breathe for the first time. The moment you realized that he was actually real, The moment that his love swept through you. The moment that that joy hit your belly and it just started to bubble over, you felt like you were going to burst. Do you remember? Jesus wants this for everyone. Would we love audaciously? Would we love like he loves? Would we allow ourselves to be interrupted by the Holy Spirit this morning? We have to fan into flame. Pastor Mel was talking about that first love. Fan into flame a love for people. You know, if you are here this morning and you're hearing me talk about this Jesus, like, is it really true? Does it really feel like love sweeps through you? Can you really sit and have a coffee in the morning and be okay because his presence is there with you? And the answer is yes, you can. He's not some far away, distant God. He wants to do life so close with you.